You know, this has been a great week. We have had some really great guests on. We've had some different guests on this week. We had Alice Rivlin, Dr. Rivlin, formerly Vice Chairman of the Federal Reserve. I've had Kevin Brady, the congressman, on. But I'm going to end the week with, I think, what is the best of all. And I've got Jordan Goodman on with me today. He's America's money answers man. Now, I met Jordan years ago. He came down to interview me for an article that he did for Money Magazine. He was with Money Magazine on their editorial staff for 18 years. And he's been a regular guest on, well, just on everything you can imagine. He's been on Fox News Network, Fox Business, CNN, CNBC, CBS, even The View. He's been everywhere. And he's the author or co-author of 13 best-selling books. We're going to be talking about a couple of those books later on in the show, because one of his books, I think, at least, I mean, you can have all 13, but there are a couple that need to be on your shelf. There are several on mine. I've got about four of his books on my shelf, but there are a couple of his books that you have to have. He's kind of written the Bible on investing that we'll talk about in a minute. But right now we just want to talk to him a little bit about what's going on in the economy. Jordan, welcome to the show. Thank you for being back on with us.
Great to be with you again, Mike.
Thank you. Let's just start out, just do a few economic things.
Sure.
What's your read on the economy right now? Are we slowing down? Are we moving? I had Alice Rivlin on earlier in the week, and she called it a extremely slow recovery. What's your thought on the economy right now?
Well, it is. Overall, the economy is growing maybe 1.5%, maybe 2% at most. I mean, some areas are doing better. The housing market, for example, is clearly picking up. We just had new home sales. We're up 3.6% in the latest month, up 25% over a year ago, and the existing home sales market has been doing pretty well. That was up 2.3% in the latest numbers there. Low mortgage rates and affordable homes are certainly helping. So the housing market is one area that's definitely doing better. Car sales in general have been doing pretty well. So the online world, there's still a lot of things going on with the social media. And Apple computer is doing well, and Google. So, you know, there's certainly parts like that that are doing well. Overall, I think you're seeing a slowdown in Europe, clearly. I mean, I think recession is putting it mildly, Mike. In some cases, I think a depression is a better way of putting what's going on in Greece and Spain, for example, and that's
right.
Dragging things down to some extent. And China is slowing. I mean, we've seen their buildup of goods and their manufacturing has been slowing down. And that's been one of the main sources of economic growth around the world. So I would agree with you. We're in the 1.5% to 2% range, but there's some positive and negatives.
What's interesting is that I saw an article that several, like Piper Jaffray and a couple of folks out there, S&P, were actually beginning to think that we're at the beginning of a new bull market. I can't imagine where they got that idea. But do you think that looking forward, do you think things are going to improve dramatically, or are we going to just kind of slowly slug it out here over the next couple
months? I would put it in the second category. I don't see things improving dramatically. On the domestic front, we have this fiscal cliff kind of hanging over us that may or may not happen on January 1st. And here we are 4 months from it happening, and nothing's happening to prevent the fiscal cliff from happening. So that's certainly a negative, I would say. The Federal Reserve may do another quantitative easing, QE3, they would call that, which certainly the markets are looking for. I call that a sugar high. You know, that doesn't solve anything long term, but it kind of gives us a short term boost to some extent. Although interest rates are already so low, Mike, I'm not sure that lowering them more is going to make that much of a difference, frankly. We just have this enormous overhang of debt. I mean, we're about $16 trillion in the federal debt. We're going to be reaching the national debt ceiling again sometime around January. And consumers have credit card debt and student loans and mortgages. So that debt kind of is a weight that slows down economic growth from going forward in any major way.
That's one thing. You are, I mean, I know there's you're called America's money answers man, but I know
right.
that you really are actively involved in getting in touch with the consumer. You know, so many of our colleagues on Wall Street, frankly, don't have any idea how the average guy feels.
Right.
But you do, because you go out and interview him, you go out and talk to him. How does the average investor feel about what's going on? Are they just giving up and just running off the bonds? Because they seem to be running out of the stock market in droves, even though, you know, it's almost back to its all-time high.
See? Investors have been very skeptical. They always say a bull market climbs a wall of worry, and there's lots of worries out there. And so you're right. People have been redeeming stock mutual funds and putting money into bonds. Huge amount of cash still on the sidelines. something like $10 trillion in money market funds, CDs, earning nothing. It's just sitting there earning absolutely nothing. In fact, in Europe, the interest rates on short-term money is literally negative. If you put money into a Swiss bank, a dollar, you'll get back 99 cents on the dollar, and you're considered happy. You're willing to take a negative 1% return just because people are so scared these days. So there's a lot of fear out there, and that's part of the cycle. When investors are scared, you know, you don't get a lot of positive investment going forward. A lot of it's psychological, Mike. It's not just financial. It's people feel fearful, and therefore they don't go out and act and start businesses and hire and invest and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's certainly a direct correlation between how a person feels and the action that they'll take.
Right.
Hey, Jordan, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, I want to talk about your new book called
Sure.
Master Your Debt. And then I'd like to talk to you about several of your books because you have written some of the better books, I think, out there for the consumer.
Terrific.
So if you don't mind, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of those folks. We've got Jordan Goodman on with us today, America's Money Answers Man. You're really going to enjoy this show. I hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to Mike Robertson's Straight Talk Money Business 1110 KTK. We'll be right back to you in just a few moments. Welcome back, folks. We have with us today as our special guest, Jordan Goodman. Jordan is called the America's Money Answers Man, and we're going to be talking about a couple of his books because he has written some books that you all need to have on your bookshelf. You know, a lot of the authors, as I mentioned earlier in the show, a lot of the authors write stuff that really, frankly, make no sense to the average guy. They're like treatises for PhDs. Jordan has a tremendous ability to take the complicated and make it simple enough for the rest of us to understand. And he's written a couple of great books, and one of the ones is his newest book called Master Your Debt, Slash Your Monthly Payments and Become Debt-Free, which I think most of us would like to be, Jordan. What is this book all about?
Well, you're right. There's a lot of things people can do. If you do it right, these are the best of times to be in debt because interest rates are so low. If you do it wrong, these are the worst of times because interest rates can be very, very high if you're paying 29% on your credit cards or something. So let's give you some specific strategies that can help you get your debt under control. The first one is in the mortgage area, and I recommend what's called the mortgage equity optimization strategy, which allows you to pay your mortgage off much, much sooner than you ever thought possible, typically 5 to 7 years instead of 30 years on the same level of income you've got today. And I always like to give websites and practical things people can do to implement these strategies. So a website for that is truthinequity.com, truthinequity.com. And basically the way it works, Mike, is you open up what's called a HELOC, a home equity line of credit, which is a completely liquid line. You can put money into it. You can take money out. You can write checks on it, whatever you like. You keep your income in the HELOC, and as a result, you're pushing down your principal every day, as opposed to with a traditional 30-year mortgage, you're keeping your money in a checking account, earning nothing, and you're paying tons of interest the first 10 to 15 years, making all the interest front-end loaded. So just the way you flow your money makes a huge difference, and literally you can pay your mortgage off about 25 years faster than you ever thought possible. I've got a whole chart on how that works.
So that's truthinequity.com? That's where you find it?
Correct. That's a free website, and they actually do you do what's called a personal profile. And on there you type in your income, your expenses, the value of your house, your mortgage, and it says based on what you're doing today, it'll take you 28 years to pay off your mortgage, whatever it may be. And using the system with the same numbers you've got, it'll be 6.2 years or whatever the numbers come out to be. And then they kind of take you step by step and actually help you implement this. And I know a lot of people have done it, and it's helped a huge amount. Can you imagine a young couple that's just buying their new home at age 30 or something, and the whole thing's paid off by 35 instead of 60? I mean, what a difference it would make for somebody like that. So there are three things you need to make that work, Mike. Three, just to make sure it's for the right people. You have to have positive cash flow, more money coming in than going out during the month, because that's what's pushing down the principal. You got to be able to qualify for the HELOC. So you need a credit score of maybe 680 or higher, something like that. And you got to have equity in your house. You got to be above water. You can't be underwater because then you have something to borrow against. But if you have those three, which probably the vast majority of your listeners do, they would be able to implement this mortgage equity optimization strategy.
Well, fortunately, you're talking to a section of the country where everybody, most people's homes are above water. We haven't quite suffered like the rest of the country. I think if you're having the same conversation up in out in Phoenix or up in Michigan or something like that, it'd be a little more difficult.
Right. No, it's perfect for you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of upsetting, actually, Jordan. I'm 60 years old. I've been paying on mortgages all my life, and if you'd have been around about 40 years ago, I might have had a house paid off by now.
Absolutely. You can still do it. I mean, you can pay it off now, but you can still do it at any stage. It's just dramatically. See, because most people's money is working for the bank, not for them. Right? If it's sitting in the checking account or savings account, literally earning nothing, the bank is taking your money and earning money on it, whereas this way you would be earning the money on it. And it's just a matter of it's a different way of thinking. You go to a bank and ask them, I'd like to do the mortgage equity optimization strategy. They will have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. And they, frankly, do not want to know about it because they'd much rather keep your money in a checking account earning zero and have them pay them for 30 years.
Now, you mentioned a person has to have positive cash flow, and a lot of families right now, particularly because of tough times, maybe a person, even down here, wages have not increased that much, and maybe somebody's lost a job, or maybe even their wages have been decreased, but their job hasn't been eliminated, but maybe they're not making as much money. And so a lot of people simply don't have a lot of positive cash flow. Are there any other things they can do to help with their debt?
Lots of things, absolutely. So, I mean, the mortgage optimization, you have to have positive cash flow to make it work. But there are other ways to improve your cash flow. For example, in the credit card area, a lot of people are paying very, very high interest rates. It's not necessary at all, Mike. People are paying 20, 25, 29%, even if they've been paying on time, just because their credit score may have gone down a little bit. So what you want to do in a case like that is to get your interest rates way down. And there are two ways to do that. One is, if you can qualify for it, get better credit cards, because they're much lower interest credit cards. In fact, near to you, Arkansas is the national capital for low interest credit cards. A free website to find the best deals on credit cards is creditcardperks.com, PERKS.com. There's some great deals out there depending on what you're looking for. Frequent flyer miles, low interest rates, if you've had trouble with credit, secured credit cards. So there's all kinds of ways, but you've got to go after it instead of waiting for the deals to come to you. So that's the first thing, creditcardperks.com, to get better deals on credit cards. And the second thing you can do, if you can't qualify, if you have a lot of credit card debt and you're at very high interest rates, go to a national nonprofit credit counseling place, because they can get you deals you can't possibly get on your own, typically like 6 or 7% interest rates. They consolidate it all into one payment. You make a payment to them, they pay the bank, and in 2 or 3 years you're out of debt completely. My favorite national place there is called Cambridge Credit Counseling. Their website, cambridgecredit.org. Their phone number, 800-897-2200. They're currently helping about 1 million people in exactly that circumstance. They're just piled under in credit card debt, and they can kind of help them get that under control. So if you can get your interest rates down, your credit card debt, that can improve your cash flow right there.
Could you give me their website again? I've got their phone number. What was their website?
Cambridge Credit Counseling. The website is cambridgecredit.org. They're a nonprofit. And their phone number, 800-897-2200. And they have deals with all the banks, with Chase and Citibank and Bank of America and Wells Fargo and so on, to get you rates of typically 6 to 8%, something like that. You make one payment to Cambridge, they pay the creditors, and you can get out of debt much quicker than you ever possibly could on your own.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about the new book is all of this in your new book?
It is. I've got a whole chapter in each of these different topics. Student loans is a big area that I think is really hitting a lot of people, Mike. We just had people graduate in the spring, and something like 50% of the people who just graduated were not able to get jobs or had to move back home again. What I like to call the boomerang generation, you know. Whatever happened to the empty nest syndrome, the birds keep flying back into the nest here. So it's hard for these people who've taken on these huge student loans to pay these things back. We now have over $1 trillion in student loans, and it's rising sharply because tuitions are going up, grants and scholarships in many cases are getting cut back, and people are just not saving enough up front for college, so they have to borrow a huge amount to get through college. And then they get out and can't find a job, with these student loans hanging over them. So I want to help people in that area. What they can do is consolidate their existing student loans into one payment at a lower interest rate instead of having all these different loans all over the place. That might help them a little bit. There's a website for that, quickconsolidation.com. And they also have a phone number, 855-460-3543. That's a place called College Education Services that for about 20 years has been helping people consolidate their student loans and get them under control. So that's one thing you can do. The second thing you can do is settle your student loans. People don't seem to realize you can do that. You can settle your student loans for typically 30, 40 cents on the dollar, something like that. A place that can help people do that is studentloanhelptoday.com, studentloanhelptoday.com. They've also got a phone number, 855-533-2860, and they can help you consolidate, actually settle the student loans and get those behind you. That's even a bigger problem than credit cards these days, Mike. Student loans, because it's so big,
right.
It's like people taking on a mortgage before they get their first job. You know, they're taking on student loans for 30 years. And I think actually President Obama recently paid off his student loans now that he got into his 50s. So it's a big and growing problem, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're younger than I am, but I think when you were in college, when I was in college, very few people had student loans, and they weren't big loans, and they were not, you know, they weren't such a burden to them when they got out of college. But
right.
College has gotten so expensive that it's almost, I think the majority of the kids in college now have some kind of financial.
Over 90% have some kind of student loans, yeah.
Wow.
My son just graduated this last June from Dartmouth. And it was $57,000 a year, and the college kept telling us how lucky we are that it was so cheap, because actually the cost of his education was like double that. It was really $100,000, so we were lucky to get off at only $57,000 a year. So I'm feeling the pain myself.
Well, congratulations, by the way, on the graduation of your son.
Luckily,
listen,
in his case, he got a job.
If it's all right with you, because you have written so many good books, you have another one called Fast Profits in Hard Times.
Right.
10 Secret Strategies to Make You Rich in an Up or Down Market, which I'll have to tell you, even as a 38-year investment advisor, that sounds very attractive and almost I'd love to know. I mean, you're making
sure.
Money on.
There's lots of things that can do very, very well in a hard market that we're in today. And there's a website related to that book, fastprofitsinhardtimes.com. So there's a whole bunch of different strategies. I can just get into a few of them. One of them, for example, is to go against currencies that are going to be weakening. So I think the euro is going to be falling further here, and maybe very quickly, because of they may not come with a deal with Greece to bail them out. They kind of need one bailout after another to make their interest payments, and what's happening in Spain and other places. So, for example, there's an exchange-traded fund, an ETF, which goes short the euro, and the symbol for that is EUO, EUO, and it's about $21, $22 a share, something like that. So as the euro falls, it goes up. So there's a way to profit from hard times right there, and I think it's already done well, but I think it'll do better going forward as the problems in Europe, you know, continue to come to the fore. That's one simple example. Another one would be oil. I mean, oil's up to nearly $100 a barrel, 97, something like that. Not that long ago, it was about 75. I think it's going up for several reasons. All the saber-rattling going on in the Middle East, the monetary easing, people basically want to go into hard assets like oil. So for different reasons, I think oil could go higher, and therefore you want to be in oil-related stocks. Now, you could do the big majors like an ExxonMobil or Chevron, but I actually like the Canadian income, what used to be called income trusts, that have yields of 5 and 6%. And they pay their dividends monthly instead of quarterly, like the majors do here. And so those are profiting from the current situation. If oil goes up, they raise their dividends, and the stock prices go up. So you get kind of a double whammy there. So some of my examples of that would be Penn Growth Energy, PGH, Penn West Energy, PWE, Baytex Energy, BTE. There's a whole bunch of these things that have very high current income and, I think, some pretty good growth potential as oil prices rise. Those are just two examples, Mike.
Wow. Hey, that's great. Hey, do you have any opinion on gold, by the way? We had a caller just before you came on talk about gold seems to have popped lately.
Definitely.
Any thoughts
about
gold
going
or
up,
the precious metals?
Because countries around the world are devaluing their currencies. They're printing lots of dollars and euros and yen. That devalues currencies, and one way you can see that is by gold going up. If politicians could print gold, they would do so, Mike. But they can't. So there's only so much gold around where there's unlimited amount of paper that they can keep printing dollars and yen and euros. So that's why I think gold is well over $1,600 an ounce now. Definitely going to go up. I would play that through the exchange-traded fund GLD. An aggressive way to do it would be the gold mining index, which is GDX. for all the exchange-traded fund for the gold miners, and silver, SLV, and silver Wheaton is probably a good way to play that, which is SLW. So, yes, I think gold and silver are going to look good here. All of what we're seeing in Europe means that the countries are going to be printing a lot of currency to try to help Greece and Spain, and that's good for gold and silver.
Okay, I would be there's so much to talk to you about. I wish I had about a three-hour interview. I would be remiss, however, if I didn't go back to your original books. I bought your first money book when it came out, and I bought several since that time. In fact,
great.
I bought them in bulk to give them away. Can you talk a little bit about the folks out there? Because there are a lot of people that may not know this tremendous set of books that you've written. It needs to be on every investor's shelf. Can you explain?
Well, they're all at moneyanswers.com is my website. I've got a little bookstore there. My first book, which came out in 1984, is The Dictionary of Finance and Investment Terms, which defines all the terms. And that's now in its eighth edition. It's sold about 3.5 million copies. And we keep coming up with new terms all the time. In fact, we're just starting work now on the ninth edition of that. So that's available at moneyanswers.com. A lot of people just even know the language of finance. It's kind of be intimidating to them. This helps people understand just this language. And there's new terms coming up all the time. I mean, TARP didn't exist. There's all kinds of new things happening all the time. With the fiscal cliff, there's no new words happening all the time. So that'll kind of help you keep up on that. So that's my first book, which could help an awful lot of folks.
Yeah, and then you've written several since then, right? I mean, you've...
I have. I did one
you went through
Master
a kind of a
Money
series,
Type.
Right?
A total of 13, that's right.
Wow.
I did one called Master Your Money Type, which is about people's financial personalities, so they can understand why they make various financial moves. Fast Profits and Hard Times, I mentioned. And so, yeah, I've given a lot of things, and I have a lot of other resources at moneyanswers.com that can help them as well. And I'm a little crazy, Mike, but I do take emails, so I'm glad to help people as well with their specific questions at moneyanswers.com.
Okay, so is that how they – I've got less than a minute to go. So that's how they get a hold of you is moneyanswers.com.
Right. Correct.
And they can
I've got all kinds of things on there to help them.
And they can communicate with you. You've got a store there that they can purchase your books. And
right. A lot of the resources we've talked about are on there. Things like CambridgeCredit.org for their credit card debt, TheTruthOfEquity.com for their mortgage optimization. So there's lots of good resources out there, Mike.
Well, Jordan, you know, I've had a lot of great guests this week, but I knew I saved the best for last, and you have not let me down. I appreciate it so much, and I know my listeners do. Thank you so much for being with us today, and thank you for the very specific advice you've given us. And we'll talk on the other side of the break. I'll give more information, more numbers to get a hold of you.
Very good.
Thanks
so much, Mike. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend. All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks, I'll be back in just a few moments. I'll give you some of those websites again that Jordan gave out. Stay with me. You're listening to Mike Robertson's Straight Talk Money, Business 1110 KTEK. Back to you in just a moment.